This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Mike Pence, the former VP, officially jumps into the race on the Republican side and talks about it in Iowa. Meanwhile, the only talk in New York and in parts of the East Coast is about the orangey skies and burning eyes as smoke is shrouding many cities, particularly New York City, being told the people are, no matter how you feel, don't go outside if you don't have to. This is all a product of the fires that are burning across the border in Canada. That's where we're at. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on this show. That's what's shaking. That's what people are talking about, not just in New York, but outside of New York. So the wildfire smoke is really leading to a lot of cancellations and warnings. I have never seen anything like it. You know, when they talk about air purifiers, boy, this is when you really want one, right? Keeping that air clean inside and staying inside. What's very strange and maybe easy for some people is because of the pandemic, there still is a lot of remote work that was happening and people are set up that way. So if they are and they don't have to work, that doesn't help bus drivers. That doesn't help people that are going into restaurants, which really you're not supposed to be going outside. So are the restaurants full? But you get my drift that there are plenty of people that still would go and work. So they're wearing masks again. It's the craziest thing, but it's really serious. The air quality, the worst level on record. The worst level on record. It's hazardous, period, end of story. People watched as Midtown Manhattan was plunged into that deep, hazy, orange, smoky, cloudy sky. Visibility completely obscured across five boroughs and that whole area, canceling flights. Very much seeing the mass looking like what happened amid the COVID-19 pandemic for the people who had to walk the streets and do what they had to do. So let me give you an idea. Air quality index, that's what it's called. It runs from 0 to 500. It measures the density of pollutants. It reached 429 at midnight. That's a level considered hazardous to everyone in the city. 429. It's gotten a lot higher than that, though. It's gotten up to, at one point, 480. So the smoke from the Canadian wildfires has reached as far south as Alabama now on Wednesday and caused reduced air quality in parts of the southeast. So, hey, it's not just the northeast. It's not just the Midwest. It's happening in the southeast, too. You see this smoke, and it just starts to kind of flood in. But the worst is absolutely in Connecticut, in Pennsylvania, in New York. I mean, it's hazy. I was just looking at a map. I was looking at a map from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and it's a moving map. So it's showing me what they're seeing, and I'm looking at the latest, like, 8 hours, the smoke forecast, where you have strips of high, and the strips of high are absolutely really focused on D.C., on Pennsylvania, on Connecticut. We got a lot of listeners in Connecticut, in New York, a lot of listeners in those areas. In the Carolinas, they're kind of moderate to high. And in Alabama, parts of Oklahoma, even parts of Texas, little tiny parts of Florida, just over the border from Georgia, showing it too as well. So the U.S. has sent 600 firefighters to do whatever they can to help with the fires. I mean, 250 are completely out of control. There are 400 active fires that are going on. And because of these Canadian wildfires, what are they talking about there? that now obviously has affected us. They're calling for a national fire service because they don't have one. So they're saying this is an emergency. We need to have this because this is part of the thing. We can't handle these responses. Can't handle it. So to say that it's reached that far shows you just how awful, 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 awful it is. So, I mean, anybody dining outside, forget about it. They're certainly not doing that. Certainly restaurants would be losing reservations because are you really going to go out and spend whatever money you're spending to brave the horrible smoke? And, of course, the answer to that is no. So there's going to be an effect on business, at least for the coming days. Now, that's the big question, and probably the question many of you would have, is, well, how long is this going to last? And the answer is, there's no way to know that for sure. I mean, you can't look in a crystal ball and say, well, you know, I'm looking at the map, because I have a moving map. I'm looking at this map, and it can change from hour to hour, and it has. And hopefully the worst period of hazy, unhealthy air in New York City is going to be gone, they're hoping, through the end of Thursday, gone, out the door, history, no more of that thickness anyway. But they still have it at this point. You still have that main swath of dense smoke, and it's just moving. So it's moving now further west from New York. Places like Toronto could get bursts of more dense smoke on deeper into Thursday and into Friday. But it's hard to be confident in predicting how long that this goes on because of the wildfires and putting the wildfires out. And this blocking pattern has locked the weather in place. It leaves, at least over the border, a storm system hovering near Nova Scotia, and it's pushing strong winds over the Canadian wildfires, and that's part of the deal. So the strong wind has kept the smoke together nearer to the surface, because you say, well, how's that happening? And that's what's happened. It's keeping that smoke dense and pushing it into the U.S. Now, if the winds were calm or there was no winds, the smoke would have risen and it would have dispersed. And it wouldn't have been concentrated. And who knows if any of it, or if it was, it would be light that would come into the U.S. The hope is the weather pattern should break by the weekend. By Sunday, the winds should shift. That would be more relief from the smoke if that, in fact, happens. But this is just the start of the wildfire season in North America. Wow. Scary. Very scary to see this and not having really a timetable for it, too, and just seeing the denseness of it. And this is what everybody's talking about. I say this show is what are people talking about. And I don't care where you're living in the U.S., you're certainly talking about it and saying, why are we being hit so hard? And that's the reason why, is because of the weather pattern and because they don't have a national wildfire forestry service, any of that that's putting out some of these fires. They're doing, I mean, they have fire departments, but not on a high enough level. They're talking about that they need more, but at this point, they got to deal with what they got to deal with, and that's why the U.S. certainly is kicking in. All right, more Republicans declaring they're running. That is, of course, the story. Mike Pence being one of the biggest. It was official. We talked about it the other day. He filed the papers. But now, what does he have to say about his former boss? That's next.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney with an important announcement about a very serious condition.
May 24th is World Schizophrenia Day, dedicated to raising awareness of a condition affecting about 2.9 million American adults. Some symptoms of schizophrenia may include hallucinations, delusions, social withdrawal, and disorganized speech. People living with schizophrenia also may have trouble focusing or paying attention and can have difficulty with activities that are important to them. The good news is that treatment options for schizophrenia are available. It's important to talk to your healthcare provider about which treatment approach might be right for you. One way to receive schizophrenia treatment you might not know about is a long-acting injectable, or LAI. An LAI is an injection given by a healthcare provider and can last weeks or months depending on the medication chosen. To learn more about schizophrenia and an LAI treatment option for adults with schizophrenia, visit LAITreatmentOption.com. This content is sponsored by Alkermes, Inc. All right, we are in the man cave. Welcome to it. Usually we leave politics of some sort out of the man cave. There's politics and sports. I say sports and politics are very similar. The us's and the them's. It's my team against your team. We have the money, you don't. Just look at what's happening with the Saudi-backed Live Tour and the PGA Tour, which we're going to talk about, and the reaction from some of the golfers who got a startling announcement. They were texted or called or whatever in a really crazy hour. Mike Pence is a sports fan, the former vice president. He announced his candidacy for president Wednesday, and he said he wants Americans to follow him in choosing the Constitution over former President Donald Trump. He said that, as I have said many times, and I say again today, he was in Iowa, that his words were reckless that day. He was talking about January 6th, and then he talked about how that led him to his announcement for his campaign. And he said, with my wife and our daughter and my team at our side, I thought that that as this riot was unfolding, that my message today is to convey to people that in the midst of that, President Trump asked me to choose between him and the Constitution. And I believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. And anyone who asks someone else to put them over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. He said that during his speech in Iowa. So he is just officially in. He was the other day. He filed the papers. But now it becomes bigger because his message is out there. All right, speaking of messages, wow, this was a shocker, and I have to say, I mean, listen, I have some good inside contacts, and I had heard things about don't be surprised because of how expensive
the legal fight is between the PGA Tour and the Saudi-backed LIV Tour, that maybe something changes. And speaking of the former president, Donald Trump, he tweeted out, I want to say it was like a year ago, that the players who are loyal to the PGA will be sorry and they won't be rewarded because the PGA Tour is being disloyal to them. So he certainly has connections to the Saudis, and three of the tournaments, the LIV tournaments, played at his golf courses, or going to be played at his golf courses, one of them already, in this 18 months. So the former president really thinking that that was going to happen, and sure enough it did. The tours now collide, and what does that mean for the world of golf? It just means that, isn't it interesting that the PGA commissioner, who was adamant about the atrocities the Saudis have caused, the murder of a journalist from the Washington Post, Jamal Khashoggi, and all these other human rights violations were just abhorrent. Now he's embracing the idea of, okay, the two are going to merge, and it's a blockbuster move, and it's going to be great for the world of golf. And Rory McIlroy, who was a staunch defender of the PGA Tour during this whole rocky time and didn't accept a $300 million offer to go and be part of the LIV Tour, was asked at the recent tour stop that's going on in Canada about the merger, and he said that he was dumbfounded and felt like the sacrificial lamb because of all the things that he said. And in the past year, how he tried to protect the future of the PGA Tour and what the aspirational nature of what the PGA Tour stands for. And he said, you know, if you're thinking about one of the biggest sovereign wealth funds in the world, would you rather have them as a partner or an enemy? At the end of the day, money talks. You would rather have them as a partner. So he said, I still hate LIV. This is a deal that's not with LIV Golf. He said, I have a massive disdain for them. So anyway, he's just one of the players on the PGA Tour who now is going to deal with a different kind of tour. And people were surprised. People felt like, as McIlroy said, that they were in the dark about this, you know. And he said most of the gripes come from the guys that are trying to hold on to their cards. They feel like things have already been taken away from them this year with designated events and smaller fields and no cuts. And so now they're feeling that much more vulnerable, right? Bottom line is, he did say it, money talks, and this is what's going to happen. So anybody who wants to compete, this is the way forward, because the deal has been cut. I think the thing that is even more disturbing is just, the way that it was handled, the fact that they were working on this. And then you had players who were offered incredible amounts of money and took those incredible amounts of money, and others who did not. Well, Tiger Woods is the biggest one, because $700 million, for goodness sake, just to sign up. Doesn't have to swing a club, just sign up for the LIV Tour, and that's what he would have gotten, but he didn't do it. McIlroy was offered $300 million, and so on and so forth. They were offered just tons of money. And moving forward, you have Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, who's defending this stunning merger that rocked the golf world, a day ago. And he's saying that this would merge into a new collectively owned for-profit entity. That's what he said. And this is, you're looking at combining the tours and ending all this litigation. So I think that was so much a part of it. There's no way they could afford to keep fighting an entity that had an unlimited amount of cash. I mean, just, they did. And it was a sharp divide in this sport. This was a huge story and continues to be a huge story, right? So he said, if you just look at the environment that we're in, and this is, you know, I feel good about the changes we've made, the position that we're in, but ultimately to take the competitor off the board, to have them exist as a partner, not an owner, and for us to be able to control the direction going forward, put us in a better position as the PGA Tour to do and serve our members, and at the same time get a productive position for the game at large. Doesn't that sound like a bunch of gobbledygook that somebody wrote? It does. Here's the thing. The LIV Golf debut in 2022 was, of course, accompanied by accusations of what they call sports washing, the use of sports as propaganda to improve an entity's reputation amid human rights scandals and so much more. That's exactly what it was. And so the PGA Tour, under Jay Monahan's direction, forbid players from competing on both the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf Saudi-backed tour. So that's what happened. And then later introduced designated events with more money in an effort to minimize the defectors to LIV. And he did say when he held his press conference on Wednesday, I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. Anytime I've said anything, I've said it with the information I've had at the moment, and I've said it as someone who is trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players. I accept the criticisms, but circumstances change. Looking at the big picture and looking at it this way, this is what got us to this point. So there was actually a joint interview. The first interview they did was on CNBC with Yasser al-Rahmani, who is the governor of the PIF, they're calling it, and they talked about having this united front. So this is the world that we live in now, right? And there's some people I realize that are like, golf, who cares? You know, of course you're talking out of both sides of their mouth. For the players, that's the key thing, right? You got people scrambling, trying to make a living, trying to get a scorecard. Not all country club wealthy silver spoon kids that can easily handle the financial side of it. So I think they are the ones that lose in the middle of this, and they just got to focus on the golf. Lionel Messi made a really stunning move, speaking of the Saudis, to go to Major League Soccer's side instead of a Saudi-backed soccer offer he got. He's going to Inter Miami CF after he left Paris Saint-Germain. He is an Argentinian superstar, to be sure. He made the announcement about his next club in an interview with a Spanish newspaper publication. And MLS later confirmed the deal on social media. Wow! Big for Miami, needless to say. That's the Man Cave, my friends. A couple of great authors coming up next.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A suspect is said to be in custody after a shooting in Maryland on Sunday that left at least one person dead. It happened at a home in the capital city of Annapolis. Initial reports indicated that as many as 7 people were shot, but police have confirmed 4 victims so far. An investigation is ongoing. Former President Trump is planning to travel to Florida on Monday ahead of Tuesday's scheduled arraignment. That's according to multiple reports. Trump is expected to spend the night at the Trump National Doral Miami Golf Resort. A portion of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia will remain closed after a tanker truck fire caused a collapse on Sunday morning. Officials say the truck was carrying a petroleum-based product that caught fire and caused a partial collapse of the highway above it. Governor Josh Shapiro says it will take several months to repair the highway. He issued a disaster declaration. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ricardi joins us. He has written a book of poetry and connection is what I really call it. Reality, truth, words, and love. And he joins us on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Vincent, thanks for hopping on. We can't wait to dive into your poetry.
Okay.
So what led you to writing this book, to pulling it all together? Because you've written 250 medical articles, you've written 4 books. Why this particular book?
Well, it started out in 1986 when I was an intern, and I was writing about my wife, who came to be my wife, and it continued. I was interested in poetry a lot, and wound up writing some. And as it passed through the decades from '86 to the '90s and the 2000s, I realized there was something meaningful in them. And as I saw that, I wanted to share it with my friends and then with more. And I wanted to share about reality.
Yes, and tell us about that. And that's what I said. That's the title, Reality, Truth, Words, and Love. Why that title? Tell us about reality and the reality in your life.
Well, reality can only really be established by two people. They know reality. They feel real. And they have to have a truth between them. They have to know each other. And the truth, it's transmitted through words. But not only words, the exclamation of words, but also love. So reality stands on truth, words, and love. And the book is a bit different in that so many books are, they have segments or sections, and I don't. I put the names of the poems on a piece of paper, put the paper in a box, and drew them out randomly. And so they're randomly spaced through the book. And this allows all these three things to be mixed together. Four things: reality, truth, and words, and love. And you read about one or the other, or them combined randomly. And you mix them together, and you realize ultimately reality is those things.
Yes, and I love the way that you did that, because you're right. You just list, it's the whole list of them from where you start: the plane, beyond, the way back, truths and color, United Airlines Flight 175, wasted time, for example. And that's deeper into the book. In the very beginning of the poems that you write, you have one that I told you I really, really liked, and it turns out it's one of your favorites too. Would you tell us, could you do Again and Again for us?
Yes, again and again, I'm trying to get it here. I'm kind of clumsy with my hand. It's about things kept happening again with Susan. An instance of coincidence more than once has become a mutant, has become a moment mutually transcended, as though you and I are sent to each other to begin again and again that final necessity, an alternative reality. And there we get to the notion of the reality that is the getting together of two people. And you know where reality begins. Here in the midst that we want to put first, because it makes sense at the time and awakens our otherwise dormant, torpid lives, in testament to the passions that we are.
Well done. I like that. Again and again, as you say, you know where reality begins, in the midst of what, as you said, we want to put first because it makes sense at the time and awakens our otherwise dormant, torpid lives in testament. Wow. The passions that we are. I'm glad that you put that in the very beginning, because so many people will gravitate to that right away, right off the bat. What inspires you to write? I mean, how did you come up with all of these different poems?
I'm a linguistic philosopher to play with words, to see how words can mean different things and use those things to get closer to the truth. And so I like to experiment with them. And there are poems about me and my patients. They're about me and my friend. They're about me and what I've seen on a movie screen with Amber Lynn. wanting to share the truth. I was hoping that people could get a sense of entertainment and insight from reading this.
And I think you get that for sure. So let's talk about that part. You is mentioning being a doctor. Tell us about your career path.
Well, I started off thinking I was going to be a psychiatrist, but I let that go quick. And then I was going to be a surgeon, and I dismissed that because you don't talk to people that are anesthetized. And I didn't want pediatric patients because I had to, you had to talk to the parents instead of the child. So I wound up with internal medicine where you talk directly to the patient. And I love talking to patients and with truth, words, and love. And I'm a geneticist. And so I was one of the first people to set up prenatal diagnosis, and a topic of a lot today. But then there was nobody knew how to do it, so there was no precedent for what to tell people in prenatal diagnosis. And so I had to explore a lot of words, and that had me do the poetry.
Right,
exploring the words.
Right. I love what you said, linguistic philosopher. That's the hashtag. And in your career, you certainly have had a major impact in a lot of different areas. And also, you know, it was just 2015 when you stopped as far as your medical license, and you were writing the poems in medical school and you were composing them. You also created, you founded something called the American Medical Consumers. Tell us about that.
Well, it seems like in one moment, the patient is getting less and less of the attention of the physician. The most I see of my primary care doctor's head, body is his head. But he's bent over doing his computer and his laptop. So what was the question?
So you founded the American Medical Consumers.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me
for the lap. So I wanted to do something about that. I was trained where to intimately be involved with the patient. And so American Medical Consumers was a corporation that was put in place to help people be part of the decision making and make executive decisions as opposed to medical decisions and get help making medical decisions separate from the doctor. So people would call and I would talk to them on the phone and help them in that way. And executive decisions are like your physician might order a drug. They prescribe the drug, and you have to fill the prescription, of course. But what pharmacy? And
right.
And I can give advice about the pharmacy in terms of closeness, in terms of things like that.
Which is wonderful, and we're almost out of time, because I want to come back to reality, truth, words, and love, and that goes along with it, the fact that you cared about that. You can pick up this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Vincent Riccardi. Get it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life?
Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Roberts, he's the author of a book with Eyes Wide Open, The Execution of Quentin Marshall. We had a great off-air conversation before he joined us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and wait till you hear this story. So, John, thanks for joining us.
I'm pleased to be here.
So let's talk about this novel. Let's talk about what happened here and how you decided to write this story.
Yeah, this is a story I've been waiting for a long time to write. It's actually sort of inspired by an actual incident that occurred in my hometown in South Carolina when I was a very young boy. And it sort of stuck in my head for a very long time. And it comes, the opportunity to write it came about as a result of work that I've been doing on systemic racism and trying to understand exactly how that process works, because my question was really about the high, the how more so than the what. And so I decided that looking at this case from that perspective would be a very interesting way of presenting this story, to try to understand how an innocent man can be taken into custody for a crime that he did not do and end up being electrocuted. And that's what happened in the case that I was talking about, because after 30 years following the incident that I experienced as a child, the actual killer actually came forth and confessed to the crime itself. So these are some of the issues that I was really trying to explore. And it was also a question of memory. You know, how do we remember these things, and how does it affect people in the community around it? I discovered that many of the people that I grew up with still talk about the case that happened then, because it was fairly traumatic.
Yeah, and you say in the book, in this story, Quentin Marshall is an African-American man who is falsely charged with raping and murdering the character Carly Andrews, who's a young white woman. So the town is shocked, all of that. It's this fictional town, like you say, that you created in South Carolina. And we're talking about the late 50s and early 60s. So imagine that time period. And you said it, you know, you're talking about death in the electric chair. And what happens to your character? What does the character go through knowing he's innocent?
Well, it's fairly traumatic. One of the things I try and capture by using multiple narrators in the story, and the people who are sort of involved with the situation from different parties, is that sort of community reaction. He is isolated from that community once he's taken into custody, and they cannot help him. They can only try to provide perspective on what he's potentially going through and the reasons for that. I mean, the story is set in the year 1958 begins. The incident occurs in my story in 1958, which is 3 years after the Emmett Till incident in Mississippi, for example. Mm-hmm. And this was an incident that African-Americans all over the country, especially in the South, were very much aware of. And it impacted the way in which they thought about what was going to happen here. They were, because as a child, I remember the sense of fear that sort of permeated the community during that time, as these things were coming out about what this man was happening to it. There were very specific kinds of incidents that got reported out about the what was happening to him that I can sort of vaguely remember happening, that I try to incorporate into the story to show what a lack of sense of control that people had, because it just wasn't about him. It was his family, others around him, who were dramatically affected by what happens in a situation like that.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading your story?
Well, I hope that people understand a little bit better what people are talking about when they talk about systemic racism, for example, that it is the idea of racism being embedded in the system, but that has to be activated by people who act on the beliefs that come out of that system, and that racism itself is a system. It's a system of beliefs about what other people are like, which sort of is almost automatically operationalized when something happens that triggers those beliefs. It's almost like any belief system is, it's only meaningful when something happens that seems to reflect the truth of that belief. And this is what happens with racism in this instance, that because there is this sort of belief in the country about black men in particular and white women, when something happens, black men automatically sort of become a target for of the system itself. And this is what happens with the character of Quentin Martin. He becomes, from almost the beginning, the sheriff believes that he is the perpetrator. They're actually talking to the actual perpetrator, but they never really take the time to explore that. He only talks to him to try and prove that Quentin actually did the crime. And, you know, this is sort of an unfortunate part of how racism impacts particular individuals.
It's such a powerful novel. And I'd be remiss not to mention that you have an incredible academic background, places that you taught and where your various degrees are from. You know, a professor at the University of Missouri, also at Penn, not far from where I grew up. And, you know, in looking in your background, at one point, and we're talking about at Penn, you were the director of the Afro-American Studies Program for 8 years. What was that like, and what did you learn from the students?
Well, the students have an incredible thirst for knowledge and understanding of, you know, the history of their country. And from my particular vantage as a scholar of African American studies, they really want to understand the impact of race on our society and some of the continuing issues that it raises in our society. And I always sort of enjoy working with students, especially as a folklorist and, you know, somebody who's really interested in race and culture from a community perspective, from sort of a grassroots perspective, and helping people understand that some things that seem so abstract when you simply talk about them as sort of issues from a human, a community-based perspective, these are really very sort of impactful issues on people's lives, the way in which people live their lives. So I always really enjoy working with young people because there's a kind of curiosity that I think people don't really understand because they're trying to figure out the world anyway, and all of these other things that adults sometimes think they have a handle on, are for students, you know, really sort of intriguing issues.
Yeah. Do you think it's about more conversation compared to when you first started off in your journey academically and then what you've taught to where we are now?
Yes, not necessarily good conversation.
Yeah.
At this point, the conversation has become very problematic because I think some of the basic understandings that we need to solve some of these problems has somehow been lost or diffused or misunderstood. It seems like every day I hear about something happening where I say, you know, has the world gone crazy? Because there seems to be kind of madness, especially around the issue of race. The whole issues around, you know, the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as to why, you know, that concept has become so ingrained in how we do things, especially institutionally. And people are saying, well, you know, we don't need that anymore. So to me, that, you know, that's sort of really misguided in terms of getting us to a point in which diversity, equity, and inclusion is something that we don't have to talk about. But until we get to that point, we still need those institutions, those conversations going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. That could be the hashtag, lost, diffused, or misunderstood. It's interesting. Your novel really brings a lot of things to light. With Eyes Wide Open, The Execution of Quentin Marshall, John W. Roberts. You can look up all of his work. You just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney.
at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.